churches would be wise to consider the greater use of storytelling and interviewing, two powerful communication forms that are profoundly influencing today's society. Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. That's our key sentence for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, do you think preaching is better today than it was 100 years ago?
I think the average minister is much better trained today than he or she was 100 years ago. However, something has happened during that time, and that is that lecture, and I'm using that word instead of preaching, lecture is not the powerful force in the world that it was back in previous generations. Say the time of Abraham Lincoln, that was lecture was very powerful, but Lincoln died in 1865. If you think about William Jennings Bryan, history was my major in college, and that's when you think about great American speakers, William Jennings Bryan and his Cross of Gold speech. Well, Bryan died in 1925. That's 90 years, say, ago. That's a long time ago. And what's happened is other forms of communication beside lecture have become much more dominant in our culture. I would say that two of those that are very powerful, one is storytelling. Storytelling, you think of Africa or cultures like that where it's very powerful. They've passed down legends from generation to generation. But we are basically a storytelling culture. And if you say, how is that possible? Well, look at the movies, look at television. Those are stories. You're getting story after story after story. And that's what people like, and it influences the way they think. There aren't many people who say, I went to a lecture three times this week, but they may see three stories in the course of a given day. And they'll see a number of stories beyond that in the course of a week. The other very powerful communication form in my mind in this American culture is interview. You talk about figures like Oprah or David Letterman. Those are very powerful cultural setting people, and they interview guests, and the guests say things, and they never say, the reason I'm wanting to be interviewed is because I have a point to get across, but they make their points anyway. The whole area of, say, homosexuality in terms of our culture has been influenced far more by interviews by these people and by the opinions of these people than has been influenced by lecture, say, or somebody saying, let me tell you what I think about this, and then talking for 20 minutes. So interviewing and storytelling are very powerful. In fact, if you say, in today's culture, who are the ones who are really good at lecture? That almost throws people for a loop. They don't know because they don't go to hear lectures anymore. They probably will think of ministers or they will think of politicians. You think of politicians and you say, is Obama a good lecturer? He's a very powerful lecturer. You listen to him and he's very rational. And when he's done, you want to like him. You want to agree with what he says. I would say that of the last number of presidents, he has been one of the more eloquent speakers. And that's one of his powerful tools. But even when he gives, say, the State of the Union address, there aren't all that many people listening to him because they aren't used to listening to someone talk for over an hour in a row. You go back into 1945 and FDR was the president. And what was important then, I'm dating myself, I was just a very young boy at that point in time, but he did these fireside chats. He would sit and talk to people. And the lecture, it was a very fatherly way he lectured, but you don't get that. You do get the president and the opposition minority leader or majority leader gets a 5-minute, and it isn't even 5 minutes. It's less than 5 minutes to talk on radio, but people aren't waiting every day to hear what that 5-minute radio monologue is. If you talk about who was really a powerful speaker, most people, when they think about presidents, they'll think about Ronald Reagan. Reagan died in 2004. His whole style of speaking was very conversational. He almost changed the way politicians talk. And you don't get anybody who has that, what's called a preacher tone, where they used to preach to thousands of people outdoors. So lecture is almost a dated thing in some ways. So if you ask me, you know, is preaching better today than it was 100 years ago? I think probably the average preacher is a better actual speaker than he or she was 100 years ago. But whether or not that's the form of communication to which people are listening, I really don't think so. Okay?
What are the ramifications of this change?
Well, I would say that interview is one of those areas that we haven't explored nearly enough in the church. And I say that not just as saying my opinion could be the following. The truth of the matter, interview is one of the really key times of what goes on during revival. And if I say interview, people may hear it differently if I say testimony. But you're saying, who has a special story you would like to tell of how God has worked in your life during this week? Is there anyone in hands? Well, then you get four or five people who come up and they share what God is doing in their life. Those were very powerful times. Now, if you say, do we have anybody with a testimony? You know, nobody is even, either they don't know what to say or the Lord's not done anything that they're excited about to share. But interview, when those were testimonies, those were interview, and somebody was saying, okay, can you tell us precisely, get back on track, what are you saying? Well, interview has been used very effectively in the church and could be used. One of the real complaints about the church deemed by the millennials is that you have to choose almost between science and religion. The church has a lot of scientists in it, but they have not been allowed to have a voice. And so for a pastor to say, this Sunday, instead of preaching a sermon, I'm going to interview so-and-so. As you know, he is a leading scientist in the following field, and I want to ask him specific questions related to his faith and how it might mark us as a congregation. If you would say you can have that or you can have a sermon this week, I can almost guarantee you the people are going to vote for the interview. But nobody's doing that because we are so wed to this one form of communication, which again is lecture, if you want to demythologize it. An interview, in my mind, could be a really powerful thing that could come back into the church. And I would say, if I want to really now throw the big guns here, if we would invite Christ, I think we'd say, Jesus, you're very good at storytelling. Would you like to have my pulpit this morning to tell two or three stories and then let us ask you questions? You know, I think Jesus could hold his own very well. In fact, I saw somebody the other day, and this was affirming to me, but it happened so long ago that I almost laugh about it. You know, I'm almost 78 years old now. And this was a person talking about when he was in high school, so he's probably 6 years younger than me, and he's talking about things that are really a long time ago. And he said, the two favorite speakers at our school were, and then he named another person who I admire a great deal, I would say is a really good preacher, much better than I am, and then you, David Maines. And I thought, wow, that's something. Then I thought, you know what? I remember speaking at that school, and I didn't preach. I read a story. I read the Tales of the Kingdom for the whole time, and I had them spellbound, which was really interesting to me because it's the first time I'd gone to that school, and they said the students are so unruly that you'll have a hard time controlling them. So I thought, well, I'll read a story. So I read Amanda and the Dragon out of the Tales of the Kingdom, which takes about 25 minutes to read, and it was as quiet. I mean, it was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. Well, that's why he thought I was such a good speaker, because I read a story. So that, and I went back to that school several times, and every time I went there, except for one, I read another story. I read The Baker Who Loved Bread, which was a part of the Tales of the Kingdom, and I read The Apprentice Juggler for them. Well, what captured them when all these speakers said they were unruly? They were not unruly at all. What captured them was story. And now I want to go back again and say, what was Jesus marked by? Not so much the sermons that you think about, although they called them sermons, but he was a storyteller. And he told stories that made people think, and stories were a big part of what he preached. So my personal feeling is, when we ask about preaching, you know, what state is it? Are we better preachers than before, or whatever, which is how we started, I'm thinking this is a different day. This is not a day when people are saying, let us go to hear so-and-so preach. That's just not where people are. But they are captured by story. They really are. And they're also captured by interview. They watch hours. I mean, you talk about Letterman. I could name, you know, you could name just a whole stream of people who are interviewers on television who are good at asking questions. They're good at listening. They laugh. They banter, you know. It's not very profound what goes on, but it does affect people when they're listening as to morals and everything else. You know, it affects them how they think about crime, how they think about other countries, how they think about, you know, whatever. Interviews are very powerful. So that's a long, long rambling answer to what you asked me.
No, I think that's a good answer. We're saying that churches would be wise to consider the use of storytelling and interviewing, two powerful communication forms that are profoundly influencing today's society. So let me ask you, David, do you think anyone listening to us will consider using either of these two options?
Well, I will.
Okay.
I will continue to.
I will too. How's that?
That's so there's two of us. Two for two. No, we don't know. Any other hands out there? I think I watched, you know, Dean, I had an interesting experience. I watched a documentary the other day. My wife, Karen, watched it with me. And there were all kinds of facts in the documentary. But the thing that I remember, and the documentary was probably an hour and a half, I remember one story. It was hardly a completed story. But it was a story of this one woman who had tremendous needs and how this ministry had reached out to her and how it had changed her life. I didn't remember any of the statistics. I didn't remember all of the forecast, all the different, what the experts were saying. I just remember the story, how profoundly that one woman's life was touched. And I thought to myself, that really was the most powerful thing in that whole documentary. It was storytelling. And it didn't have any statistics to do with it. It was just the life was changed. And I watched it all. I think that's the thing that popped more than anything else in that whole documentary I watched. And I've thought to myself again, when I go places, I remember going to, I'm ordained in the Evangelical Free Church. And I remember going to a very large Evangelical Free Church. And I spoke on a Sunday night and I read a story. I think it kind of bothered the minister who had me come as an outside speaker that I read a story. But at the same time, that story captured where those people were, and I could have given an invitation, which afterward I thought I should have given an invitation, because that story had profoundly moved people. But for some reason, I think the minister kind of felt he got cheated because I read something that we had written years before, and it wasn't what he expected. But it worked. You know, I remember once going to a large Bible conference in the East, and they asked me to come in and speak. I started like a sermon and set up the premise that I was doing, and I read Amanda and the Dragon. And again, people came up from everywhere. And even the little kids who normally wouldn't sit still, they sat still through that whole time, which they wouldn't have done if I had been preaching a sermon. And in that case, I remember the director of the conference ground saying, "This has been unusual. It's not something we expected, but this has been a word from the Lord." And I thought, well, praise the Lord for this person, because he could have been disappointed that I had done something that I'd done many times. Because I've read that story a lot of times to children's groups and orphanages or whatever. And I know the story has effect, but I didn't know if he would feel like I had not been fair to him. But maybe he was just being courteous, but I think he really meant this has been a very good evening. And again, I was aware that Jesus came and he told stories most of the time because stories grab people's hearts. And I think it's something that we could be very good at as a church. Whether in the days ahead we will have storytellers in the pulpit, I don't know. It's very hard to change people's ways, but it could be good. It could be good.
Churches would be wise to consider the greater use of storytelling and interviewing, two powerful communication forms that are profoundly influencing today's society. We're glad, as we always are, that you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast. You found our podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website, where we have resources to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.